back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danny Galen, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Thank you for joining us. No matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening, we appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio as well. From Traverse City down to the Glass City, GR to the Motor City, good morning. We welcome you. We thank you for making us a part of your day. It's great to be with you. Danny Galen at Dan in the studio, Ryan Elke at RyanL_Key. Text the keyword sports radio. Send it to 21,000. Sports radio to 21000. Meijer Supercenter guest line 248-951-2176. 248-951-2176. We're on Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook, X's and Bros. And, of course, good morning to our television audience as well. Comcast Channel 900 and BCSN on Buckeye Broadband. Find our podcast. Listen back to anything you may have missed on demand by visiting OmniFM, Google Play, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, MichiganSportsNetwork.com. Email us, fan feedback, email inbox, xbmornings@gmail.com. Dan, you got anything on the wire over there? Any texts, anything like that?
Let me check the texts. I have not looked in a few minutes.
All right. Because I just wanted to get back into this thing real quick because I saw something pop up on the old Reddit, and I think that this is very interesting because I think
Reddit?
About
Reddit? You're a big Reddit guy?
Well, I'm not, but sometimes information is shared via Reddit. And I'm thinking about this. I'm like, okay, Chicago Bears, 4-7, not a very good football team, right? Indianapolis Colts, 6-6, still trying to figure things out. I'd say they're a pretty mediocre team, but they don't have a winning record. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, now that's a good team, 8-3. That's a good football team, right? And Seattle Seahawks, they are not the Seahawks that we thought they were. They're 3-8. They got massive problems. If you watched Monday Night Football last night, what a finish for the football team. 3-8, that's not a team with a winning record. Right? New York Giants. They're 4-7. I can't believe they have four wins. That's a terrible football team. The Lions, we know they're 0-10-1. We know their story. The Houston Texans. Now that's interesting. They're 2-9. They're not very good. Does anybody know what I'm doing right now? Does anybody have an idea? What do all of these teams have in common?
They have more wins than the Lions in the last 2 years this year.
They do have more wins than the Lions. That's true. But there's something very interesting about the list of teams I gave you from different divisions and different locations all over the country. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the one team with a winning record that we would consider a contender, right? I saw this pop up on the old Reddit sphere via Twitter. Because the Tennessee Titans, they're kind of wiltering away, although they are 8-4. They're having some struggles. They're trying to figure out life sans Derrick Henry. And the San Francisco 49ers are starting to play some better football right now. They're 6-5. They have a winning record. By the way, in case you didn't know, the Tennessee Titans also have a winning record of 8-4. And then, of course, you have the Green Bay Packers, who are a very good football team, 9-3. Did I tip my hand at all in what I might be doing? Because I'm looking around, and Reddit via Twitter told me that the Detroit Lions in the month of November actually have a better record in the month of November than the LA Rams. 0-2-1 is better than 0-3, which is exactly what the Rams are in the month of November. Outside of that victory against Tampa Bay, there isn't anybody on this schedule that's really worth looking twice at. I take that back. The Colts. I'd pay attention to the Colts. The division's pretty weak. They've got some opportunity there. No Derrick Henry for the Titans. There's a chance, right? Titans can mess around and get weird, but, I mean, the Titans have lost two in a row. I mean, who else got the Jags and the Texans? Like, ooh, sorry. Sorry if I'm not terrified. But that's all very interesting considering the fact that the LA Rams are 0-3 in the month of November. And we talked a little bit about this in hour number two, and I just want to kind of circle back to that LA Green Bay game because I said that, yeah, I was actively rooting for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in that football game. I was. Because it makes no difference to me. The Packers have been the better franchise. They've got more Lombardis. In fact, the actual trophy is named after their coach. They've had more success, although they are divisional rival, air quotes.
Also named after one of our former coaches. Oh, wait. I'm just kidding, Joe. Not named after you.
Yeah, you know, the family tree. I wanted to see Aaron Rodgers do his thing. You know, he's got a toe that, you know, people claimed was because of COVID that his toe hurt. Like, preposterous. And I was like, you know, go out there and smoke them, Aaron. Do it for all of us. And I don't know why I feel this way. I don't have any angst. Like, the trade was the trade. I think the Lions, they needed to move on. You know, would it have been?
Is it because you're salty that you're realizing that rookie quarterbacks can actually be good, and maybe the Lions should have considered drafting a quarterback?
Who are you looking at here, Mac Jones?
He's in a
very good system to be successful.
Okay.
I will give him
that. Cam Newton in a very good system to be successful last year, a former MVP? Or is it just that maybe rookie quarterbacks are better than Lions fans give them credit for, and we should have drafted one because we should have?
Is Mac Jones a better quarterback than Cam Newton? Time will tell, but probably. Probably. You might think I'm crazy for that. You might turn the station, but I don't think I'm wild for that. I mean, I look back to the Super Bowl against Denver. I'll never forget that play. How do you not dive on that fumble? It's your fault.
Oh, a Super Bowl. Something Cam Newton has been to.
He has been to one. Mac Jones is a rookie. We'll wait and see. We will wait and see.
It seems like there's levels of, you know, what counts and what doesn't. Cam Newton not diving on the ball in the Super Bowls, you know, that's preposterous. But you're slamming him for actually playing in a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, it was a wild year. The guy won an MVP. He was
15-1.
He was nuts.
And an MVP.
If you look up the stats that year, video game numbers, like crazy, crazy. But, you know, defenses figure you out. The great philosopher Jadakiss once said, you have to show me longevity before you can say you're nice. You got to be able to do it. You got to withstand the test of time, right? And maybe the Lions should have drafted somebody while Matthew Stafford was still there. Maybe they should have addressed the quarterback position and tried to get a guy in waiting. Quarterback play is definitely something that has hurt the Detroit Lions. Is Jared Goff the guy? We were going to figure out, was he going to be a bridge quarterback to get us to the next phase while this team used the draft capital that they got in exchange for Matthew Stafford to better the roster? That's what we found out. Or was he going to be good enough to say, hey, we got the Jared Goff who also had a very good year and played in a Super Bowl, and we know that just is not he's not the kind of guy that's going to take his team to the next level, right? I may have misspoke earlier. I triggered Dan a little bit, so I'll recant that. Matthew Stafford did elevate the play of those around him, but he couldn't elevate the team to that next level that an elite quarterback can, because now he's given, you know, he was riding around. I like to use car analogies in a Ford Explorer. He's in a Rolls Royce right now. That team,
come
is
on, Anthony, Joe, They're, you can't. Anthony, is Cooper Kupp a Hall of Famer right now? Matthew Stafford, he had a Hall of Fame wide receiver. I mean, don't act like he didn't have guys.
I'm not saying that he didn't have guys, but if you think, do you think the Rams roster today is better than any Detroit Lions roster put together during the Stafford era?
I just think with the Rams, it's like a 2015 Mercedes that got a paint job, and everyone thought it was a 2021.
Ooh.
It's like with Jared Goff, they started seeing the rust a little. So they put a paint job on it. Everyone tried to pretend it was all brand new. Like there's still some rust under there with the Rams team.
They have some issues.
Like
that
the fact
they
that everyone
have.
Thought Odell Beckham was going to be Odell Beckham of 2014, because Beckham is getting the same Cam Newton treatment. It's like, oh, he's just going to turn into his old form.
Nope.
Like, no, people get older. People get worse. It happens. Jalen Ramsey, I'm sorry, you got embarrassed by Aaron Rodgers and his COVID toe. Oh. You should retire after that clip.
Oh.
Because you get helicoptered into the sidelines into a ball boy. That is ridiculous.
Oh, Aaron Donald, how come they can run the ball at you?
Because they put three linemen on him and say, we'll take our chances with the other 10 guys on this defense because they can't tackle.
I love it.
Von Miller. Well, oh, I went from 4-4, woke up 7-1. Now you're 7-4.
Ooh.
Where's your? Yes. Guess what, Von Miller? You're old now.
Oh.
Like yeah. It's like you put a shiny new paint job on a rusted hoopty. Congrats.
I don't disagree with the take. We'll be back with more X's and Bros after this. The Week 13 NFL recap coming at you next. Don't go anywhere here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here for your local Meijer. Now everybody knows Meijer is connected to local teams, college teams, high schools, pros, and more throughout the state of Michigan. So what it means is when you're shopping at your local Meijer, you're basically shopping for your local community. And Meijer is proud to partner with Little Leagues, youth sports, high school sports, college sports, and pro sports throughout the state of Michigan. Remember, when you shop Meijer, you're shopping for your local community.
It's a new day to celebrate and be free. A new day full of action and excitement. Come to Soaring Eagle. Indulge to your heart's content. It's a day for winning, for world-class fun and food. Yes, it's a grand, spectacular day to get away. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com.
Bill Simonson here for the Van Andel Institute in downtown Grand Rapids. They're world-renowned for their cancer and Parkinson's research. And the Van Andel Institute's Purple Community is an extension to every community in Michigan and across America to raise awareness and money to help cancer and Parkinson's research. If you'd like to put together a Purple Community event where you live or where you work, go to purplecommunity.vai.org.
Here to X's and Bro. I tell you what, Mirza Kosovich. My cousin used to have a shirt. It said Life's a Bitch on it, and it had all the Slavic names that end in IC. Awesome. But Mirza says, someone throw some ice at that man. He's spitting hot fire. That'll be Ryan. Yeah, the LA Rams. I mean, threw some rims and a new paint job on an old vehicle and thought that maybe you're going to pull it off. I had a lot of expectation. That's what we talked about going into the season for Matthew Stafford and these Rams. How would you play under these sort of circumstances? You know, when you come to Detroit, we all want you to be great. We want you to be successful. We hope that you're successful. We pray to whatever God you pray to, including the many-faced God, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, that someone will come in here and resurrect this franchise and bring us back the glory days of the 50s. Right?
I pray to the old gods of...
Old gods or the new gods.
Lem Barney and Sanders and the other Sanders. I'm kidding.
You don't have to kid. I pray for Johnny Morton and Herman Moore, Lomas Brown.
Can't we just have Johnny Morton just come back and catch 15-yard in routes all day, please?
I mean,
you need a quarterback that can throw 15 yards, Dan.
That's the thing.
And a coach that will say, yeah, let's throw past the first down marker or even the line of scrimmage marker.
Well, you got to get it past the blue line before you can get it to the yellow line, which those lines are always unofficial. But we did see the pass to Josh Reynolds. And, I mean, I was blown away by that thing. It was, I think, right on the money. I was like, look at this pass. Who is this guy? I saw that route to TJ Hockenson down the sideline on the out. That was beautiful. Maybe we could do more of that. I don't know. But with DeAndre Swift's injury, like, that changes things. And my whole question for watching the Packers against the Rams is, would Matthew Stafford be able to do it? That's it. That's all I wanted to know. Like, is he going to be able to pull this off, or are the Rams going to be 0-3 in the month of November? That's crazy. You got to win against one team with a winning record. Like, it's right up the MO. If you watch the game, that pick six was like quintessential Matthew Stafford. I don't dislike the guy. I just, as a Lions fan, as someone covering the team, as someone who works for the team, I've always wanted to know what exactly we had with Matthew Stafford. Some media members thought that he was great. Some media members didn't think he was great. Some fans thought he was great. Some fans didn't think he was great. The guys he played with, they all loved him. So, like, that's five different opinions. Like, where are we? Well, maybe this trip to L.A. was going to really tell us what Matthew Stafford is, right? Maybe it would show us that, hey, this guy is the elite of the elite. Numbers for everybody are off the charts. Rams can't be stopped, scoring 50 points a game. They're Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Maybe that was going to be them. Or maybe they would be a team that would underachieve based on the level of Super Bowl expectation that was placed upon them in the preseason. Reports came out before the Green Bay game. He's got a whole bunch of injuries. Everybody does. Allegedly, Aaron Rodgers' toe's going to fall off. I don't know. All right, I said week 13. We're going into week 13. It's actually week 12. One of my favorite times of the week is when we get you all caught up on everything that happened the previous week in the National Football League, our week 12 NFL recap. It all started on Thursday. Usually we have Thursday night football, but it was Thanksgiving, a time to give thanks. The Pilgrims sitting down, triple header of football and turkey legs. I'm telling you what, our Thanksgiving Day spread off the charts. Ryan's desserts looked amazing. Almost ate my cell phone. The Bears, they ate against the Lions 16-14. Lions fall to 0-10-1. Matt Nagy and company, a game-ending field goal, ending the Bears' skid, typical fashion. Third time that's happened to the Lions this season. They might be the best 0-10-1 team the NFL has ever seen. The Raiders went into Dallas, into Jerry's World, in Arlington, and beat the Cowboys 36-33. Derek Carr, for everything that organization has been through, Derek Carr, like, hats off to him. And they lost their tight end in the game. They got their wide receiver. It's a tragedy. Head coach gets whacked. Best tight end gets injured. Like, what a mess. And they still found a way to beat the Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? The Buffalo Bills, nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Can't stand the Saints. Not a Jameis Winston fan. Good for Josh Allen. Four touchdowns thrown. Cincinnati Bengals, 41-10 winners over the Steelers. Steelers absolutely had to have that game. Joe Burrow and company showed out. Joe Mixon, two scores, 165 yards to the ground. That was fantastic. Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a barn burner against the Indianapolis Colts, 38-31 winners at Lucas Oil Stadium. Not the only Michigan quarterback that's going to win in Indy this week. Carson Wentz did throw three touchdowns, though. Good for him. Leonard Fournette with four scores. 7 years ago. The Miami Dolphins, 33-10 winners over the Carolina Panthers. A lot of excitement going in for Carolina into this season. I got to imagine that thing's just about over. Christian McCaffrey now done for the year. Dolphins improved to 5-7. Defense turning some things around. Tua looking pretty good. They get Waddle back. He waddled down the field for 9 catches and 37 yards. 137 yards, that is, and a touchdown. Good game for Jalen Waddle. The Patriots, 36-13 winners over the Tennessee Titans. Dominating fashion. Scoring in every quarter. Mac Jones, two scores, 310 yards through the air. Oh, watch out for the Patriots. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Brady's first year at the helm, they were 8-4 through 12 games as well. Similarities. The New York Football Giants, 13-7 winners over the Philadelphia Eagles. Not sure if anybody watched that football game. Here's one that was even worse. The Atlanta Falcons going down the road in Jacksonville, beating the Jaguars 21-14. Will we see some heart palpitations from Urban Meyer and potentially a call from Touchdown Jesus himself? Urban Meyer to South Bend? Interesting. The New York Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets. How about Robert Saleh and company getting their third victory of the season? Congratulations to him. 21-14 winners over the Texans. That's about all I got for that game. Tyrod Taylor, two touchdowns passing. Good for him. Denver Broncos, 28-13 winners over the Bolts. Bolino's Bolts, the Chargers, looking terrible right now. They fall to 6-5. Denver's now 6-5. Packers, 36-28 winners over Matthew Stafford and the L.A. Rams. Aaron Rodgers threw for a couple of touchdowns. That team's good. They got a good running attack. They've got good receivers. They've got a great quarterback. Defense plays hard. Defense plays well. Matthew Stafford threw a pick six. Green Bay, they're creeping. San Francisco 49ers, 34-26 winners over the Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins threw a couple of touchdowns, but hey, here comes San Francisco at 6-5 now, starting to reel a little bit. Good for them. And then we had Sunday Night Football. The Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson threw four interceptions, and the Ravens still won that football game 16-10. Questions now for Baker Mayfield, big time. 247 yards passing, one touchdown. Kareem Hunt's dad now taking to Instagram, calling out the quarterback, saying he's afraid to pass the ball. No, like, what? First off, dad's gone wild. Everybody put your cell phones down. This is not middle school. This is not high school. It was never the kids that changed. It was always the parents. Act your age, not your shoe size. Washington football team last night on Monday Night Football. 17-15 winners over the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson tried everything he could. Legion of Boom no longer there. Good win for the Washington football team. And a two-point conversion picked off in the end zone. Unfortunate, but I couldn't believe Seattle scored there at the end of the game with 15 seconds remaining. Your bye week teams, the Chiefs and the Cardinals, both got a day off, so good for them. We'll kick things off in Week 13. This upcoming week, Thursday Night Football. Looking forward to that. It'll be the Cowboys and the Saints at 8:20 on Fox. The Lions will host the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. That is your NFL Week 12 recap. Whew. An exhausting couple of minutes. This has some very interesting storylines around the NFL, right? I know John Wagner wanted to argue with me. He always wants to argue with me. I don't know why. He's always wrong. It's got to be tough to be John to be wrong all the time like that. The reason I believe that the pro game is a better product is because it's a lot more competitive. Now, how would you say that? Like, and John brought up this past weekend. This past weekend was magical. It doesn't take anything away from college football, but you're not going to see a 30-point spread in the NFL. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. What's the largest spread we've seen? Because we usually throw a game on the – we have a game on the docket – every week in the NFL, every game we pick, and then Ryan always goes and finds the wildest line he can in college football.
The largest one, I think.
38?
Oh, for college football?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's been.
40?
Yeah, we've had one over 40, I believe, this year. Largest in the NFL, I believe, is around 17.
Sounds about right.
I think it was the Rams-Texans.
Yeah, that sounds about right. There you go. All right, we're going to step aside. When we return, the College Football Playoff Ranking Committee Invitational Show is out tonight. The coaching carousel, it's a crusade of coaches. Coaches gone wild. Guys leaving in the middle of the night. It's chaos. That's coming next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, welcomes you with a special offer on college basketball. Hi, this is Matt Shepard. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game. If either team hits a three-pointer in the game, you're going to win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use my bonus code, SHEPBET200, when you make your first bet. Enjoy college hoops like never before with BetMGM's live betting options and boosted odds specials right there at your fingertips all season long. All you have to do is download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use my bonus code, SHEPBET200, to win $200 in free bets if a three-pointer is made in the game that you wager on. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Michigan only. This is a new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddy's Foundation at #PopTheTap at FreddyThePizzaMan.com. That's FREDI, ThePizzaMan.com. Or email FreddyThePizzaMan at gmail.com.
Huge here for anybody who owns a business, or if you're making financial decisions for a business, no matter how small or how big they are, Tom Rosenbach and his team at Bean Garter can help you today. They are one of America's top accounting and business firms. They're based in downtown Grand Rapids. They service all of Michigan and coast to coast in America. Find out more at beangarter.com. That is BEENEGARTER.com.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danny Kaye, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Thank you for joining us. Great to have you with us. Text the keyword Sports Radio to 21000, Sports Radio to 21000. Meyer Supercenter guest line 248-951-2176. 248-951-2176. You got a text coming in. I have not seen the Slay and Diggs tweets lately. Told everyone. So the no tweets tells us you all forgot Tua. Four straight. Playing better than Stafford. Oh goodness. Here we go with the Tua talk. He's playing better. He is playing better. I don't want him on my team, but he's playing better. Of course, right now, he'd be a better option than Jared Goff. But the question is, what are the Lions doing, right? I mean, that's really what we want to know. Like, we are going to have the number one pick in the draft. So can you assemble a roster that is good enough? Where do you take a quarterback? If you take one in this year's draft, who's it going to be? What round are you willing to take a quarterback? And what kind of money are you willing to commit to that, you know, that position? And then, you know, or is there someone, do you say, hey, we got to go through one more year of this and then pray to God somebody blows the doors off of us in the next draft and that's where you're at? Because you're looking at top picks in the next couple of drafts. I mean, yeah, get ready, Lions fans. This is, you know, I'd like to be able to think that some franchises could turn it around quickly, but I just don't know. A couple of news and notes real quick in case you're just now joining us. Corey Seager and the Texas Rangers have agreed to a 10-year deal, $325 million. How crazy is that? So Seager goes to the Rangers. That was after they signed second baseman Marcus Semien to a 7-year, $175 million contract. And starting pitcher John Gray, 4 years, $56 million. So I don't know what Texas, they got some oil money down there or something. But they have money and they're not afraid to spend it. The New York Mets and Max Scherzer have agreed to a 3-year, $130 million contract. So from the Dodgers to the Mets, I mean, talk about a mercenary. This guy, he is something else. And the report is right now, Dan, you had the deets as far as Javier Baez and potential talks with the Tigers.
It's just right now, well, the first reporting was 6 years, and then we saw another one saying 7 years. Not sure. Also, just now it was reported that the Yankees are interested in former Ranger Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. So I don't know where Carlos Correa is going to end up.
You know, people are – Javier Baez might be a less expensive option. Very good glove. Why not have him and Correa?
Because you signed Jonathan Scope, you have Spencer Torkelson coming up the line, and you have Miguel Cabrera. So you got to get rid of Branch Scope, who you just re-signed to a deal.
Well, the way I'm thinking is that Cody Clemens was just put on the 40-man roster. So they're maybe thinking that he could be the second baseman next year. Scope plays first. Baez, obviously, at short. Miggy, hopefully, most of the time DHing. You know, maybe give him, you know, whatever, a day a week at first base.
Interesting. I say load up, figure it out later.
And a lot of people, as you know, we see on Twitter, disappointed because they wanted Correa. Javi Baez is a good baseball player. He swings and misses a lot, but Tigers fans were expecting a cannonball splash the size of Hamilton Porter. Like, and they didn't get it. So it's like, I understand, like, the disappointment, but it's like, they're still a good player, and I think if this is going into another signing, like, if the Tigers sign another decent name, I'll feel a lot better. But if this is it, then, like, Illich, you can't play baseball manager on a budget. It's really hard. Like, you got to go all in or all out.
But, you know, we've been talking about the pipeline now for quite some time. And, you know, does adding some of these guys at longer deals stunt the growth of some of your potential prospects? I don't know.
But what – I mean, yeah, that's where signing Javi Baez is a little younger. You can sign him to a longer deal because you don't have a shortstop prospect. But – again, with baseball, it's hard to say we'll just rely on prospects because that's a fickle game to play in baseball.
Dangerous. Maybe hit on one or two and fill the rest of the void, I suppose. Also, hoping for a return, Tiger Woods admitting that the unfortunate reality is he won't be the same player that he once was. He said, quote, I think that something realistic is playing the tour, playing the tour one day, never full-time ever again, but pick and choose, just like Mr. Hogan did.
Pick and choose
a few events a year, and you play around that.
Did anybody expect otherwise? I saw a bunch of people, sad, this announcement came. I don't know about you guys. I'm just excited that he wants to play professional golf again. Like, go out there and play 6-7 tournaments a year. That's what I'm thankful for that from Tiger. Because I didn't think that would ever happen. The way, we heard, right after the car crash, we heard, oh, that's the same injury Alex Smith had. I'm thinking, hopefully he doesn't lose his leg. And now, 9 months later, it's, oh, I'm going to play again. It just won't be every week. Thank you.
Yeah, and he wasn't playing every week anyways. He was already picking and choosing. But he said, quote, there was a point in time when I wouldn't say it was 50-50, but it was damn near there if I was going to walk out of that hospital with one leg. Once I kept it, I wanted to test and see if I still had my hands. So even in the hospital, I would have my girlfriend and my friend Rob throw me something, throw me anything, which I thought was kind of a strange, interesting quote, but... Yeah, at least he's out and he's doing that. To the college coaching realm, which is where I want to go next, because we have the College Football Playoff Committee ranking release television show set to kick off tonight, 7:00. Oh, the fifth set of rankings for the 2021 season. That is very exciting. But some news out of Jim Harbaugh on the coaches show last night. He's going to give all of his bonus money to the Wolverines athletic department staffers who had pay cuts due to COVID-19. That's what he told the Inside Michigan Football radio show. He and his wife, Sarah, would give the money back no matter the amount in order for it to be distributed within the department. The Michigan Athletic Department implemented salary reductions of 5-10% for most of its employees in 2020 to help offset the revenue loss from the pandemic as well as salary freezes.
Also, Jim Harbaugh is about to make up all that money that went away last year.
That could be true. There might be, a new contract on the table. I don't know. It's a nice gesture, though. So good for him. And I know that there's going to probably
be... Did that tuition go down, though?
What does it matter if tuition goes down? The athletic department...
I'm not caring. I don't care about tuition. I'm talking about all the, I do feel bad for the staff members that didn't make as much last year, but the students are also paying probably more than they did last year.
What, the tuition has nothing to do with athletics. 0.0%. Zero. They're completely separate budgets. We don't have to do this right now, do we?
Guess not.
I mean, trust me, I'm all on board. Like college tuition is criminal. There's no doubt about it. Professors do less work than high school teachers. At least the professors I had. You show up for 90 minutes, you leave, that's that. Write a paper. Okay, cool. Like, I feel bad that you're assigning us a 10-page paper because that means you have to read 30 of these things. Like, that sounds awful. Did you even read mine? You know what I mean? Now, if you're in law school, if you're in, if you are in, pre-med, then things are a little bit different. But, I mean, shoot. That's not a knock on my teachers. I'm just being honest. All right. So, outside of that, then you have the moral and ethical challenges of the college football landscape. See, in the NBA, they have this thing called tampering, right? The NFL has it as well. But the NBA is really shaky because there's like legal tampering and then illegal tampering. And nobody really knows what's going on. But sometimes the NBA levies fines. In college football, it is the Wild West of, it's basically a cattle auction where everybody goes to the highest bidder. And I suppose that's the free market in general. But LSU is going to hire Notre Dame's Brian Kelly as their next head football coach. And as a team that is on the brink, depending on where the rankings fall tonight, they're in the top 10. We know that. They could dabble around and potentially sneak into the playoff. And their coach is going to leave to become a football coach at another school while they still have a big-time New Year's Six Bowl on the table and still a college football playoff berth on the table. What is wrong with all of that? Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma. All right, this one's a little different. You lost this past week against Oklahoma State. chances of being a really good bowl are still there. But Oklahoma State is the one that, you know, could represent the Big 12 in the college football playoff if that happens. He leaves ahead of the bowl game. Okay, that's interesting. He's going to go to USC. I think this is good for USC. If he could turn that program around and make them relevant again, the Coliseum, the people in L.A. support their college football team. But there's a lot going on out there, and just about everybody's good except for the Angels. Right? Rams are good. Bolts are decent. Clippers. Lakers. You know, Angels, ugh, Dodgers, they draw 5 million fans. Like, there's a lot going on in Southern California. They've got mountains. They've got beaches. They've got Hollywood. They've got stuff to do. So sports can kind of take a back seat unless you're really good. Star move here by USC. You hope he can recruit, turn things around. So the Oklahoma Sooners are now going to go through a mass exodus. Quarterback Spencer Rattler, preseason Heisman favorite, has already entered the transfer portal. So he's on his way out. Other recruits are going to do the same. My question is now what happens with this opening, not only at Oklahoma, but also at Notre Dame? Because one of the teams who is in this hunt right now is a team down in Cincinnati. If you remember back, Brian Kelly kind of up and left Cincinnati in the middle of the night. They still don't really like him for that. Could this happen again where Notre Dame poaches a coach from Cincinnati? Where the Bearcats, right now sitting at 12-0, Luke Fickell, is he fielding calls from the Fighting Irish? Luke Fickell and the Cincinnati Bearcats that, oh yeah, by the way, have to take on number 24 Houston Saturday at 4 o'clock on ABC for the AAC title. They're an undefeated 12-0. They win that. They're 13-0. You got to imagine they'll be the first group of five team to ever enter the college football playoff. They have a win over the same team that could potentially be calling him. So, hypothetically here, we're going into bowl season with the potential. Well, we know for sure, Notre Dame, coaching vacancy. Oklahoma, coaching vacancy. Cincinnati, potential coaching vacancy. That's wild to think about. That's crazy. If you're Michigan State right now, the fact that that deal got signed last week, you got to be giggling to yourself. Like, whew, at least we don't have to go through this. If you're a Michigan fan, that win for Jim Harbaugh, at least we don't have to go through this. Knock on wood. Because we've been through this. These coaching searches.
Juwan Howard going to go to Notre Dame?
I did see a tweet that, you know, Juwan Howard to Notre Dame, could happen.
Texted our friend at Blue by 90 that same thing as soon as Brian Kelly left. So Juwan Howard.
Say?
No, he just laughed.
That's like every NBA.
Anytime a coaching position opens, regardless of sport, I just text him Juwan Howard to there.
That's good. I like it. It's fun, right? There it is. We've been waiting all morning before 9 a.m. It rarely happens, but we have a breaking news bulletin from the Michigan Sports Network News Desk.
This is not official, but Mark Feinsend of MLB.com reporting 6 years, $140 million for Javi Baez.
All right, so just over $20 million a year.
I mean, you also have to think they signed Eduardo Rodriguez. I mean, so that's $225 million so far.
What's wrong with another $350? Like, let's just break the bank.
Okay, but would you spend another $70 on one guy and another $50 on another guy?
What, you want Stroh?
Kind of.
Well, let's do both. If Chris Illich literally backs up the Brinks truck and says, you know what, we're going all in, this is it. Tigers fans would never be able to say anything to him ever again.
I mean,
that would be it.
And I feel like Marcus Stroman, he's just a fit for Detroit. I don't know if you know his character, how energetic he is. I just think he would fit really well in the city.
I say sign them both and figure it out later. You can never have too much talent. If you got great prospects, you want to sell them off, go ahead. But just back it up. You spend all the money, right? And you say, hey, Tigers fans, we gave you what you wanted. We spent all this money. I don't want to hear another peep. I don't want to hear another word. College football playoff rankings. Dan Ryan, What do you believe we're going to see as far as a top four for the CFP?
It will be Georgia 1, obviously.
Yeah.
It'll be Michigan 2, ooh. Alabama 3, Cincinnati
4. Oh, Oklahoma State 5? Notre Dame 6?
Notre Dame 5, Ohio State 6, Oklahoma State 7.
Do you really believe that?
I don't know what's going to happen with Notre Dame now with Brian Kelly leaving.
Like, I wonder if that's going to affect their opinion.
Right. Because it's like, who's going to coach them? And if you're Notre Dame, you get Ed Orgeron. He's the best interim coach around to coach them to a championship.
And then you can fire him the very next year.
Exactly.
This is why committees, that you should not have any sort of selections. This is why we need a finite system with a criteria, as I complain about all the time here on this program and have complained for years. You have to have a set criteria of who gets in the playoff, because Notre Dame's coaching vacancy, that does raise a good question mark, is if that will affect the committee's decision tonight. What'd you say, Dan?
Danny and Brighton's on hold real quick.
Danny and Brighton's on hold. Let's get to him real quick before we got to close things down here. Danny, what's going on, my man?
Hey, appreciate the call. I'm going to take a moment away from the Michigan week of celebration. Here's my thing about the Tigers and the signings. I don't think about, like, the $140 million or the $300 million or whatever. I think he's $20 million. Eduardo Rodriguez is $7 million. That's $27 million. I don't look at the length of the contract. I look at how much it is every year. $27 million a year to add to our relatively paltry payroll isn't bad, because now it does allow you the opportunity to go out and sign one or two more players at, you know, 10, 12, 14 million, and you're still within a reasonable annual payroll, if that makes sense.
One of the questions that I've received is, why do I care if it's reasonable or not? Why not just be extravagant?
Right? Well, and fair enough. And I guess the flip side is, because I know it's not my money, but the way I look at it is, okay, so I spend I give Carlos Correa $38 million a year for 10 years. As after, like, my 6-year window or 7-year window expires, and, like, I've got this guy for 3 or 4 more years, I'm not going to spend that money, which is basically what's happened the last 5 years, because we had to dump all these dead contracts. So at least you put yourself in a position where I'm not dumping dead contracts. I mean, it's 6 years. Rodriguez has an opt-out after 2 or 3. I don't know if Baez has an opt-out. So I'm not worried about that. I'm okay with this. I thought Correa was a pipe dream, and I just want to give a shout-out to my boy Freddie.
All right. There you go. Danny and Brighton, love you. Appreciate the call. Georgia 1 consensus here on the program. Michigan 2, what happens from there? How does the committee judge it? We'll find out tonight at 7 o'clock. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Talk to you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here at X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.